Welcome to Finding Meaning in the Mysterious. I'm your host, Marcy Wise, and I've spent the majority of my life examining our journey with an analytical eye and an open heart. Even as a child, I was in awe of the amazing wonders of the unexplained. I desired to know the truth, not someone else's truth, but the truth I would recognize by my own inner knowing. I entered the world of mass communications in order to bring people understanding and valuable information to help them in their daily lives. My efforts have brought me here, to you, and together we will explore the greatest mysteries of life and attempt to perceive their truths through our own investigation. However, in this forum, we will not only judge using our minds, but by using our hearts as well. Because true knowing always comes from within the heart of each individual, and my goal is to put you in touch with your own inner knowing. Let us begin. Thanks for joining us for part 3 of our series on the mind-body-spirit connection. Today, we're focusing on strengthening our spirits. Spirit remains the biggest mystery of the three. Most of us receive only brief but powerful glimpses of it in our daily lives. What is this amazing space of unlimited knowledge, creative inspirations, and life-changing epiphanies? Albert Einstein once said, "The most beautiful thing we can experience is the mysterious. It is the source of all true art and all science. He to whom this emotion is a stranger, who can no longer pause to wonder and stand wrapped in awe, is as good as dead, his eyes closed." End quote. On today's show, we'll try to define spirit in easily understandable terms and find ways to increase its presence in our lives. The search for spirit is nothing new. It's a part of our human essence. Later in the show, we'll speak with Peter Boris Jr., who has studied the evolution of culture and society with regards to spirit, and attempt to draw conclusions as to where this powerful source might be leading us. But first, we talk a lot about following your inner knowing on this show, but exactly how do we learn to tap into it? It's called intuition, and our next guest says that each and every one of us can learn to crank up the volume and hear its promptings loud and clear. Andrea Hess is an intuitive consultant and life coach who has assisted hundreds of clients worldwide. She's the author of Unlock Your Intuition, How to Accurately and Reliably Access Your Most Valuable Resource, and she's here to share her secrets with us. Hi, Andrea.
Hi, Marcy. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Well, thank you for having me.
So, intuition, what exactly is it?
Intuition is interpreted in two different ways. One, sort of more on the scientific side of things, is that intuition is a bunch of information that is gathered in our subconscious mind and then comes to the forefront of our conscious mind as needed. That's sort of science side of things, and that's how science interprets intuition. I come down far more on the spiritual side of life because, you know, my subconscious certainly doesn't know anything about my clients. So I, just from personal experience and the experience of all the intuitives I've trained, I've got to go with the spiritual version, which is that intuition is actually information that comes from our soul. Now, you know, most people kind of think their soul is a bit like an appendix. They know they have one, but they don't know what good it does, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And the thing is, though, that the soul really is the part of us that's here to grow and evolve. It's chosen a physical incarnation as its vehicle. And so it actually has a ton of information to give us as to what it wants to do here in order to allow its highest path and purpose to unfold. And you know, then whether we listen to that information or not is entirely up to our conscious will, but there is certainly a lot of information coming from our own soul self all the time. So if we have a soul, which I certainly hope everyone does, then we're also naturally intuitive.
So if everyone has a soul, then everyone has intuitive abilities. You don't have to be gifted.
Absolutely. It's really a learned skill. And it's a wonderful skill to have. There's certainly ways to discern what is intuition and what's just our mind talking.
Right. Well, I think that's what most of us would really like to do, because if there is, and I do believe that there is, a higher, you know, energy guiding us in our lives, a certain destiny that we're supposed to fulfill or certain steps that we're supposed to take in our lives, you'd like to know that you could tap into that and know sometimes, you know, which path to take. So how do we begin to build those intuitive abilities so that we can hear that voice?
Well, there's a couple of things. The first is I always recommend a little bit at least of a meditation practice just something simple, or even 2-3 minutes a day, we quiet the mind down. The point is not to get the mind to stop thinking. That's impossible. But just to direct the mental thoughts, and that could be counting the breath. That's a really nice neutral exercise. Most people are comfortable doing that. You know, you just breathe in and out, and that's one, and then you just keep counting. You know, saying a mantra. I mean, those are just little preparatory exercises to get the mind to be quiet, because most of our minds are very, very noisy and busy. Mm-hmm. And then the next thing is to simply ask for guidance. And it's funny because you just did the thing that most people do. What should I do? What am I supposed to do? Right? Mm-hmm. And it's interesting because the answer is always whatever you want.
So right? Those free will.
Actually, yes, it's that thing, free will. I know. When we start abdicating our responsibility to create the life we want, that's when we tend not to get real great answers. That's usually when whatever is in our subconscious will come up, and people get very confused about that. So they'll be saying, well, what am I supposed to do? You know, it's not like there's some divine puppet master that has, you know, a job for us that's ascribed to us for this lifetime. We don't have a job to do. We are truly here to create our experience and to experience ourselves as creators. Mm-hmm. Here in our, you know, human world. So really the way I recommend asking is, rather than what am I supposed to do, it's more, you know, if there's two choices before you, it's like, which choice is most aligned with my highest path?
Right, right.
Or even better, you know, usually we do have an outcome in mind, right? Something that we want. If we want to raise our income, right, by hopefully, and I really encourage people to be real specific. If you want to raise your income by 10% next month and you have, you know, three different ways you could market yourself in your business, I work a lot as a business intuitive, so you'll have to forgive me. There's a lot of business intuition in it. But so then you could ask your guides to show you, right, ask your soul self to show you the most appropriate, the easiest, most efficient way to get to my desired outcome of raising my income by 10% next month. You know, and that's a really specific question that puts us in creatorship. We decide what we want. And what intuition really is, it's like our internal GPS system, you know? It's right. Like its job is not to define the destination. That's our job. The job of our intuition is really just to go turn left.
Mm-hmm. Well, I love that. I love that it, basically you're just, you know, controlling your verbiage there a little bit, you know, and that's a good point. That's a good point. Don't say, you know, is there a right or wrong answer? Because really there isn't. There might be just a longer or shorter path to where you're trying to go, right?
Exactly. Exactly. And, you know, the wonderful thing is there's always guidance to be had. No matter what. But sometimes it's, you know, it's an easy thing to imagine that we can kind of abdicate our job to make choices. You know, and that's not what intuition is for. I mean, I do get people sometimes who are like, you know, I just wish spirit would just tell me what to do. And it's like, well, you still have to decide what you want, and then spirit can guide you how to get there. But sorry, you don't get to just, you know, not have the job of deciding the what or the where you're going.
Right, right. Well, how do we know how to perceive the guidance that we get?
Well, the first thing that people get a little hung up on is this idea that intuition should be extraordinary. Like, you know, the clouds open, angels sing, oh, you know, and like a voice like James Earl Jones descends from heaven, you know, and just a big booming voice sort of declares, you know.
Right.
It's like people do have this idea that intuition is like a big event, or, you know, we watch TV shows like Medium, where she has like visions that are so real that they remove her from reality. It's
right.
Like, it's not like that. That's like the total Hollywood version. And here's why. You know, you mentioned earlier free will, right? Well, intuition, that's, you know, our soul self can't interfere with free will. Right? Because that's what allows us to create our experience here.
Mm-hmm.
So if intuition truly were so dramatic, I mean, if really a big booming voice did come from heaven and told us what to do, we would do it. Right. I mean, there's no question about it. We
right.
just do it.
Sure. Yeah. You tell me like that, I'm going to follow you.
That's right. It's like, if you're going to be that obvious, absolutely am I going to do that. And so it would really constitute an interference with our free will. So intuition always has this really subtle take it or leave it quality. It's very suggestive. It will never tell us what to do. And this drives some people crazy. They want to hear the voice of their intuition more clearly. But it's always got this quality of a suggestion. And there's no judgment as to whether we take it or leave it. It's like, hey, why don't you do this? And if you don't, that's okay. And that's actually what makes it so different from our minds.
Right, right. Well, we've been taught to think that, oh, we can really screw up our lives. We can make wrong decisions and be stuck with them forever. I think we all operate out of sort of that place of fear that, you know, we don't want to make a mistake.
Yeah, you know, and that keeps people stuck in action. It's a very, it comes from a place of scarcity,
yes.
which is certainly where we are right now in a lot of our society. But, you know, this is an infinitely abundant and creative universe. No doors ever truly close. You know, and I get a lot of clients in who actually have so many opportunities and are afraid to pick one because they don't want to close the door on anything. Mm. And so they're not moving at all.
Mm.
Right? And that's a really tough place to be in. And for people who are in that place, you know, when that intuitive nudge comes, it's got this take it or leave it quality, whereas your mind is always going to have opinions and it's going to use the word should. Right?
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of, and that judgment, like, oh my God, if you do this, blah, 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 right? You know, there's a lot of noise like that. That's never intuition. Intuition just goes, hey, why'd you do that? And it's real and suggestive, and there's no judgment if we decide not to do that thing. So, you know, the fear of losing out on opportunities or taking the wrong path, that's always mental. That's
right.
Always ego talking.
And you say that practicing detachment, and I found this recently in my own life, by being able to sort of step back from things and take a look at things from a distance has really helped me a lot. That's very helpful with deciphering your own intuition.
Yeah, well, you know, we get attached to an outcome, and it's really funny. This happens when people are starting to receive their nudges, right? So, so for people who are listening who want some action steps, you know, I would say do this. Do a little meditation practice, like 3 minutes in the morning, you know, just to get the mind clear. And then don't expect anything to happen during those 3 minutes. And then every day, ask for some sort of guidance, or even just like on Mondays of every week, ask for guidance around something that you'd like to create in your life, right, without abdicating responsibility. And write it down, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And then it's just a matter of paying attention. And nudges come in all kinds of shapes and sizes. They can come as ideas and inspiration, often in the shower, right? We all do our best thinking there, but it's really where we get inspired. That and driving or like and housework. Those are three biggies. It's really interesting. I know I have clients who now do, like, they have really clean homes because they get inspired while they do housework.
Ah. Well, I've often heard that the reason driving and cleaning and those sort of things is because you do sort of tune out. You sort of go to that
yeah.
neutral place of non-thinking, don't you?
It's that place of detachment that you just brought up, you know, where our mind is relaxed but open. We're kind of busy enough that we're not thinking terribly hard. And so there's space and room in our thoughts for intuition to come in. And, yeah, those rote activities where we're not all that mentally preoccupied, still doing something. And you know, the only problem with those states is, you know, those nudges, intuitive nudges, they come in so subtly and they have that take it or leave it quality
mm-hmm.
that they can waft through our minds and then we just go, oh, yeah, that'd be nice. And then we just sort of forget about it. And one of the things to know about intuition is that it'll come up again and again and again. Like, it's not very persistent. Like, it will never make us feel compelled.
But
right?
It will keep presenting itself. Like, you'll notice those little synchronicities.
Yeah. It'll just keep coming up in little themes, or the same thought will come every day in the shower. And people will go, you know, for the last 3 years, I've been thinking about starting this business. I always go, well, what are you waiting for? It's like, we don't get the written invitation from the universe, you know?
Well, it does involve taking a certain leap of faith, really, doesn't it?
It really does. You know, in the end, and people get very attached to being right, and there's that attachment word again. We kind of do want that upfront 30-day money-back guarantee that if we do this, we're actually going to be fine, right? But, of course, we don't get that. And the only way to really build faith and trust in our own intuitive abilities is to listen to those little soul messages, look at the themes that keep coming up in our lives, and then take action. And just with curiosity rather than with attachment as to what will happen. You know, and that's really where we sort of build the proof factor that it works. Because, I run my entire business, seriously, an actual business person would shudder the way I run things, right? But it works. I mean, I've tripled my business the last 9 months, right? Because I just go with my intuition and allow myself to be led. I have a basic intention, and it's magnificent. Mm-hmm. But in the middle of being led, sometimes we don't know exactly where we're going. So I've been led into business projects that, while I was in them, were kind of disasters, actually. And it's funny, one of my biggest business successes came out of just this marketing disaster. I started a project. No one wanted to buy it. It was just awful. I was like, my God, I felt so guided. What was this, right? And then 2 days later, it hit me like a ton of bricks what I got out of that. And I took that lesson and applied it to a different project. And I almost doubled my income from 1 month to the next. But, you know, I had to trust that I was being guided into an experience that I needed in order to really get it, so that I could then fulfill my intention. Right. And so we only get that, though, by acting. So if we just sit and wait for the guarantee and we just think about, oh, yeah, that's a nice idea that I've had for 3 years, it's like, oh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You're never going to know.
I see what you're saying. I've been feeling like so often we just have to get out of our own way, because mostly what we do is we stop ourselves. That's mostly what we do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's very true. It's very true. And we have sort of an investment. You know, the other thing about intuition that makes it a little scary, and this is another one, how we know that it's intuition rather than our minds. Our minds, our egos, tend to want to keep things the same, and they will try to justify why doing the same things over and over is okay. Our intuition, remember, that's information coming from our soul, and our soul is here to grow and evolve. Now, our intuition will usually guide us towards doing something different or new and taking us out of our comfort zone. Mm. Because growth cannot happen inside our comfort zone. If we do what we've always done, we just get what we've always gotten. So often our intuitive nudges take us right into the unknown, and that makes it feel like that leap of faith. But, of course, you know, of course expansion is only to be had there. If we want different things, of course we're going to have to get outside of comfortable and do something different, right? It only makes sense. But our ego is really invested in just being like, no, 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 I don't have to do that.
Right. And human nature doesn't like change, sure.
No, no. No, there's a part of us that doesn't. It's that, I think it's a very ancient part of us that wants to keep us safe and inside the known. It's like a safety mechanism that's really hardwired. But, you know, we're evolving beings, and so now we're working with our spiritual aspect consciously, and, you know, we can say, okay, wow, that's terrifying and scary and totally unknown, and I don't know what's going to happen, and I'm going to do it anyway.
Right.
Because where I am now isn't all that great, so here we go.
Well, I think that does take bravery, but then the rewards are so big, aren't they?
Oh, they are. They are. You know, sometimes I look at the unfolding of things, and that's truly where we get to see the grace of the process. Because, I mean, it's like things like looking back at, you know, I always say it's like you're coming from a hilltop, and then you have to go through a valley into the unknown, right? And then when you're at the top of the next mountain, you get to look back and just enjoy the view. But you can only do that in hindsight. You know, when we're in the middle of it and we're taking action and we're, you know, afraid and we don't know what's going to happen, but we're just going on faith, you know, that's scary. But then when we feel like, oh, you know, I reached where I was going, and we look back, we can see how guided we were and how all those synchronicities came together to support us on our path. And it's just so beautiful. And there's no way that we can orchestrate that with a plan.
No. And after you've done that a while and you've seen that the rewards start to come to you, does that lessen your fear further down the line? Are you able to take that leap of faith easier the next time?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay.
One of my current jokes is that I don't even feel like I know what I'm doing anymore because I just go with it.
But it's working out better for you, right?
But it works great. And, you know, it's so much less stressful. And, you know, it's really funny because, I mean, I really apply this to business, the way I run my business. So I really stake my living and my livelihood on doing this. And I have to say that I'm just not so, I don't know, I'm not that much of a business person. I'm not that smart to really have been able to orchestrate how it's all gone.
Right.
You know, I just went with it. And in the moment, it didn't really always make much sense. But in hindsight, it was like, oh, thank God I followed my intuition on that. And, you know, I do have moments where I don't. And you know what? It always comes back to haunt me. I'm always like, oh, I should know better, you know, of all people.
The wonder of spirit really is that you can accomplish things that are bigger than you, if you can tap into that.
Absolutely. It's so beautiful what we can do. And, you know, if we insist on figuring out at the mental level the how, steps 1 through 10, I mean, plans obviously don't work. I mean, anyone who's ever bought groceries for, like, the next 5 days knows that plans don't work, right? I mean, you've had that, right?
Right, sure.
It's like after day two, it's like, I don't feel like cooking, right? And then half the vegetables just end up sitting in the refrigerator, right? So planning is really not that efficient. There's no plans that ever work beyond, like, say, half an hour. So why not just set an intention and then pay attention to those subtle little nudges that just don't insist. They just keep coming back. No shoulds. But definitely a nudge outside of our comfort zone.
Well, I love that. You make it sound so natural and easy.
It kind of is. Mm-hmm. It kind of is, yeah. We put up a lot of resistance to it. But it's actually fairly easy. It is natural. I mean, our soul does want us to have a fantastic experience here. I always tell people, you know, effort is necessary. We do need to take action. Mm-hmm. But struggle is entirely optional.
Oh. That's
you
a
know,
good point.
It really is. Yeah, but we do need to take action. I mean, we can't just, I'm not one of those really spiritual people that, you know, if I meditate all day, then all things will come to me. I mean, there's action is required.
Sure.
We're here as physical beings in the physical world.
Mm-hmm. Well, you say another one of the hurdles that get into people's way in developing their intuition is that they only ask for the big stuff.
Oh, absolutely. I'm so glad you brought that up. Yes, most people try to tap into their intuition when, you know, they get laid off from a job and now they have to find a new one or a big decision comes, you know. Mm-hmm. And then they, of course, use the word should. Should I get married or not? You know, or should I move across town or not? And, you know, and when we're kind of in crisis under the gun, the really big decisions in life. And that's usually when people start, you know, praying when they're really in trouble, right? Or asking for guidance. And by that time, we're in such emotional turmoil that it's really hard to discern what's intuition and what's not. I mean, we're emotional, we're invested, we have opinions, we're in fear. That's not the time to start.
Right.
The time to start really with everyday little things. I mean, what do you want to create this week? Set an intention, ask for guidance, write down what you want, right? Be clear. And it can be little. I mean, life happens not in the big, giant decisions, you know, that come up maybe once or twice a year, but in those little everyday moments. And the creation of our experience really does happen in between, you know, in those little everyday moments, everyday interactions, everyday choices. So if we take little steps, too, to change our experience at that level, I mean, I always think, quite frankly, it means we don't have to wait and get slapped by life's big stick, you know? If we take proactive little steps to align with our highest path and learn our lessons and we're constantly stepping outside of our comfort zone in order to grow and evolve, we're never going to get stuck where we need a big crisis to get us dislodged from doing the same things over and over.
Right. Well, another thing, too, about practicing it every day is that I think it makes you a player in the game again. You know, so often we get used to just going through the have-tos of every day. I have to do this. This is the way I do it. I go through my routine. And you don't ask yourself, do I really want to do that? You don't sit and say, what do I feel inspired to do today?
Absolutely. You know, it's so funny that you bring up routine. I always think that routine is absolutely the enemy of consciousness because it does have us do the same things over and over again. Why would we want to do that? We're a different person every single day when we get up in the morning. Hopefully, yeah. If we're growing and evolving beings, then we're not the same person. Why would we want to do the same thing? So many people will sit in a job that they hate, and what comes out of their mouth is, I hate my job. I really want to do something different. And then, instead of actually listening to themselves and the ideas that are floating around in their heads for 3 years, right, what happens? They get laid off. And then they're like, oh, my God, I can't believe this happened to me. But you just powerfully manifested your way out of a job you hated.
Right.
It's more like, congratulations, this is what you wanted, but you weren't moving, so you manifested for yourself a big change. In the moment, it looks horrible, and then 2 or 3 years later, they bless that event as being the thing that saved them from just continuing on in unconsciousness.
Right. It's a blessing in disguise.
Yeah, exactly.
We do see a shift sort of occurring now. More and more people are opening their minds up, and they're starting to see that they do have an active part in creating their realities. And they're starting to sense those little nudges, like you said. But I think the place where we get stopped and kind of stop ourselves is that we wonder, are we just making it all up? Are we imagining these things? I mean, how do we know that we're not?
Yeah, it's first of all, yes, there is a giant shift, and it's beautiful because people are getting so much more conscious. The way we've done things, certainly, you know, the financial side of things and the corporate side of things, you know, they're falling apart pretty badly, and I think that's a beautiful thing. You know, sometimes things have to fall apart before they can rebuild themselves at a higher vibration, right? Mm-hmm. Now, in terms of making it all up, I mean, we do have to apply those criteria, you know. Is this my intuition or my imagination? Well, is it subtle? Check. You know,
Subtle is good.
Is it insistent? Hopefully not, right? If it insists and has an opinion, then it's your mind. Okay. Does it keep coming up? If it keeps coming up, not in a sort of nagging, you have to do this, otherwise your mom will be mad at you and da 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 da. No, that's not your intuition. It's usually just a very brief little idea or suggestion, and then that's it. You know, whereas what we really want is sort of the do this because if you do, then blah, 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 blah. You know, but that's usually our mind talking.
How do we get our egos out of the way so we know it's not just us, you know, like glorifying ourselves or, you know, I don't know. How do you know you're not just feeding into your own idea of what you think you should be?
Okay. Yeah, that's a great question. A couple of ways to discern that. First of all, the ego will tell you that you're right and that you should just keep doing what you're doing. Like there's a justification, you know? So if the message is, well, you need to do this because, right? And then there's sort of an self-righteous indignation about it. That's definitely ego. Like spirit has no reason. There's like no judgment attached to it, so it doesn't need to be right or wrong.
Okay.
Right? It just is. And then the other thing is, if it's only good for you, and, you know, might not be good for other people, it's probably your ego, because spirit really has a way of working things out in the highest good of all.
Mm-hmm.
That is really magical. Now, that does not mean that we need to sit there and take everybody else into account, because you know what? We don't know what anyone else needs, and everyone is equally responsible for their own choices. So it is appropriate to set intentions that are ours. You know, a lot of very wonderful, loving, spiritual people, when I ask them for their intentions, they say, oh, I want my family to be happy or my children to grow up happy. And it's like, you know, your children are going to choose that. What do you want? Mm-hmm. You know, so we can choose for ourselves to be happy. But, you know, so we don't want to get too much into other people's stuff.
No, that makes sense.
If you think your intuition is telling you to cheat someone, lie someone, you know, do something illegal, that's not your intuition.
Right.
And then there's sort of this, like, you know, sometimes people get into this whole, almost like it has to be a puzzle. They get sort of in love with this idea that it all has to be very mysterious and, you know, that doesn't happen either. I mean, our soul is so happy to talk to us. It's not going to be cryptic, right? There's also, you know, you're a divine being, but so is everyone else. So if you're being told that you have special qualities, and, you know, it happens. Every once in a while, people will be like, I am told that I'm this. You know, it's like, yes. You know, we all have these amazing special qualities, but if it's a little bit over the top, it's probably not spirit talking to us.
Right. So you're special. You're just not any more special than anyone else.
Right. It's like you're special, so is everyone else. You know, we all have our strengths, definitely. Right. We have soul-level gifts that are unique to us, and we all have them. But, you know, do you know what I mean, though? There's sometimes people who go a little bit off the edge with, you know, I'm channeling this, and, you know, I'm the only one that has this information. That's another one. It's like, if you think you're the only one being told this, you're wrong.
Well, I think, you know, I think that it is exciting when you first start tapping into something because you're so blown away by it that you think, oh, my gosh, I've received some wonderful wisdom. And then when you start to, you know, look at the world and history and you see that millions and millions and billions of people have received the same thing. You know, it's not just
you. Yeah, you know, but it is. I mean, what's truly wonderful is if we don't get too out there with it, but really apply it to practical life. Like, to me, intuition is so much about practicality and living life, living the life that you want to create, really, and just owning that, you know, your spirit has the tools to get you where you want to go. You have to decide where to go, but it's entirely practical. That's another one of those things that I do want to bring up is when people get guidance, it doesn't always look entirely linear. Sometimes we're guided to do something in one life area that seems so unrelated. One of my ongoing jokes is that you know, one of my big boosts in income came, I was guided to go rock climbing.
No.
And that doesn't make sense, right? No. I mean, okay, so my income went up in order to do that, go rock climbing. Okay. All right, but what that was, sometimes we get guidance that puts us into a different energetic state. Like, in order for my business to grow at that point, I really needed to be more trusting, right? And I'm terrified of heights. Oh. And I felt very guided to go to a rock gym and just do this thing. And I did not really want to. Remember, intuition will take us outside of our comfort zone, right?
Right.
So off I went with my friend. Now, I'm 5'8". She's like 4'9". And I was going to trust her to, like, lower me up and down the wall. Oh, my goodness. However, you know, by the time we left there, I was in such a place of trust and gratitude that I would be supported. And that was like an energetic shift, right? So it wasn't about a linear doing. It was about doing something different and shifting my energetic state so that I could attract something different. You know, so we'll get guided to do things, but if we don't know that that's what it's about, you know, we'll be guided to go into a bookstore and we'll think that, you know, it's about buying a book or meeting someone or something. No, it's just about being in that environment sometimes.
Well, I love the way it surrounds us at all times, and we just have to sort of open our eyes to it and see it.
Yeah. It really does. And I really recommend that people let go of routine and at least have some time where you can just act on guidance and sit and go, what do I want? What do I feel inspired to do right now? And then even if it makes no sense on the surface, just to do it. Just to act on it, even if it feels silly, even if there's no discernible outcome right then and there.
Well, these are great tips, Andrea. Thank you so much. Now, if people want to find out more about you, do you have a website?
Yes, absolutely. My personal website is empoweredsoul.com. And then for people who really want to dive into intuitive development at a very deep level, my training program is soulrealignment.com. And that certainly is a very in-depth intuitive development program where I certify practitioners, and it's really an amazing experience.
Well, wonderful. Well, thank you so much and continued success to you.
Thank you so much. It was a pleasure speaking with you today.
Many times we'll stumble onto the power of our spirits completely out of the blue by having an illuminating moment of clarity or an aha moment. All of a sudden, something that was so confusing to us is revealed in this amazingly simple light, and we wonder why we never saw it that way in the first place. Glimpses of this place of wisdom make us want to visit it again and learn how to put it to use in our daily lives. Well, although no one in modern society ever really teaches us this, people throughout history have been taking this same trek through consciousness and have found that there is a pattern that all spiritual searchers find. So what exactly can we hope for when we embark on the journey toward spirit? In her wonderful book, Adventure in Meditation, Carol E. Parrish Hara breaks down the three phases of metamorphosis. Once we begin to still the mind, the first thing we experience is transformation. Here our souls fill with a feeling of love and devotion. We receive flashes of intuition. Negative emotions are neutralized and released, and there's a healing of the heart, mind, and body. We begin to manifest a certain radiance. We feel compelled to transform our lives to live as ethical beings. Sounds pretty good, and that's just the first phase. The second phase is transmutation. As this inner cleansing takes place, an actual transmutation from matter to light occurs. We begin to vibrate at a higher frequency. As a result, new abilities begin to emerge. Our batteries feel recharged, and aspiration and potential merge together to give us a renewed sense of purpose. And finally, the last phase is transfiguration. In this enlightened state, it's said that we have the ability to tap into the cloud of knowable things, which is a collection of information, ideas, blueprints, and poetic expression formed at the intuitive and abstract level. We hold high aspirations, knowing that they will be fulfilled in time. We're innately in touch with beauty and inner wisdom and have the desire to bring them down to the human plane to serve humanity. Although consciousness is a stranger to science, it is not a stranger to mankind. I encourage you to dust off your pioneering spirit and give deeper meditation a try. Peter Borries Jr. is a spiritual writer and communicator of a new vision of human transformation. He spent years developing a practical plan to help people live their lives from a place of higher consciousness. Well, that may sound complicated, but it's really quite simple. He's saying that by operating from a place of love and inner knowing, we can change the world. His latest book is Unity of the Heart, Transforming Consciousness to an Enlightened Humanity. Welcome, Peter.
Yes, hi, Marcy. Great to be here.
Oh, thank you so much for being with us. How do we even define spirit?
Well, when we look at spirit, it's basically the essence of our being. It's basically who we are. We're really multidimensional beings in divine unity. So when we look at it from that perspective, we see that the fullness of our being can be expressed throughout all our dimensions. We've really been conditioned in a narrow band of consciousness that really has separated us from the heart and the spirit.
Well, from the time we're born, we're taught to make our judgments and decisions from a place of logic. You know, we focus on the physical and the rational. But you say that approach actually fosters some negative results in our lives.
Yeah, in fact, you know, when we're only operating from that dimension, we're basically operating from our conditioning. A lot of childhood wounds and so forth, where the mind really creates, you know, this idea of holding on to things from the past, you know, where we continue with negative emotions and certain negative beliefs. And so really transforming to that heart dimension really brings us back to wholeness, allows us to heal, you know, those particular negative wounds that hold us back.
Right. And part of that is what? Our fears, feeling like we are separate from other people and the conflicts that we have, those sorts of things?
Yes, exactly. When you're really open to the heart consciousness and this unity awareness, we realize that we're really not separate from other people, that really this universal connection that we have allows us to freely express our being And, you know, at the same time, we really maintain our unique personal identity.
Mm-hmm. Well, you talk a lot about this heart consciousness, and I know, you know, that's sort of a mysterious phrase also, but we like to talk about our own inner knowing on this show a lot. And I know when you're able to tap into that space where you feel like you truly do have a knowing that comes from within, it feels like a gift. But how can we learn to make that a bigger part of our lives?
You know, practices such as meditation, a lot of self-awareness, because it really requires a quieting of the mind so that we can get in touch with, you know, this higher aspect of our heart and the spirit.
And what happens to us physically and mentally when we do go into that quiet space?
We realize, you know, this larger perspective of who we really are. And in that space, we're much more able to create from the heart.
Mm-hmm. And in that space, that's where, you know, they say all the great works of art and illuminations of science have all come from.
Yes, that's right. And recently in the modern world, we focus so much on material that we've lost sight that really the insights and the creativity really come from the spirit.
Mm-hmm. Well, I've heard them say that in our modern world, especially with computers and things becoming more technologically oriented, that there may be a resurgence or of importance for matters of the mind and the emotion and people who are, you know, emotionally intelligent.
Yeah, I think that's right. I think, you know, this idea of the technology, you know, is kind of, it's giving us a vehicle for much more connectivity and in that realm. But I think as we begin to transform more to this heart consciousness, will foster deeper connectivity, and I think a lot of the technology is really kind of a bridge to that.
I know that the times when I have tapped into that feeling of, you know, divine unity and love that you feel from within when you're in that space, you know, it's a wonderful, wonderful thing. But a large part of the process, and I know you talk about this, is that while you're in that space, you're focused on healing and releasing old issues and lower energies and those sorts of things. Don't most people put up a resistance there and you have this idea in your mind that when you're in meditation, you're supposed to be happy and peaceful. How do you suggest that we deal with the healing and some of the negative aspects, you know, with as much grace as possible?
Yeah, I think it just requires perseverance. Really, once we get awakened and start really participate along this journey, we realize that the conditioning and a lot of that negativity, it's often very, you know, deep rooted in our unconscious minds, and so it just takes that understanding that there'll be many different levels that it is a lifetime journey. And that just, you know, persevering through that process, the more that you begin to get in touch with, you know, that true center of yourself, that healing will keep continuing. And often it comes in waves, and, you know, and you go through different phases over, you know, a period of years.
Mm-hmm. Do you feel like that's part of our purpose for being here?
I think, you know, as I pursue the journey, I've really come to understand that the development of our souls and transforming, you know, to this higher truth in love and divine unity, you know, of who we really are, that's really our purpose.
Mm-hmm. That we're just meant to work through these issues, that there's no accident that these are being brought into our lives, and that by working through it, we're what, more positioned for the things that we are meant to accomplish.
Yes, exactly. I think it's all part of our individual, you know, destinies to really love and create. And, you know, and each of us has a particular personal journey along that road. But, you know, all of us as humans our call to reach for the heights of, the true consciousness of who we really are. Healing, it always takes place immediately, but to get there, it's always, long struggle, and then all of a sudden it just happens, and then, wow.
Yeah. Well, what I've noticed, I guess I felt like, oh, I've made such great progress, and it really has me excited, and it wants me to pursue this more and to grow more spiritually. And I felt myself heal some things that were painful for me in the past. And I'll think I'm over it, and then that same problem will sort of resurface.
That's very common. It's almost like spiraling. It's almost like you heal that particular problem, and then for a while you'll continue on, and then you'll spiral back and kind of hit it at a deeper level, and you're kind of surprised that, oh, I was over that.
Mm-hmm. And that's necessary for you to be clear of it once and for all?
Yeah, because I think because a lot of us, particularly if it's a, fairly, painful or deep-seated thing, whether you picked it up in early childhood or it was transmitted, from previous generations, that it takes time to kind of wear it down.
Once we've attained this higher state of consciousness or begun to tap into it, how can we use it as it was meant to be used?
That was really meant to be used in developing deep relationships of connectivity and oneness and partnerships. And that's really where we were meant to be, as well as the creative side. So in looking at using our consciousness to actually create and use our own gifts within our own lives, and then looking at that on a bigger perspective of how can we now collectively come together to use that mystic state of consciousness to, transform the whole of human consciousness.
Mm-hmm. So what you're saying is as we improve ourselves and grow spiritually, each of us actually affects the whole of humanity.
Yes. Yes, that's right on. And throughout, all of history, anybody personally transforming clearly affects all of humanity because, we are, completely connected at that level of divine energy and spirit. What I think we're moving into now is that our own personal transformation is even becoming more directly related to the transformation of the whole. We kind of see this, for instance, in certain groups coming together, like the Institute of Heart Mass Global Coherence Initiative is an example. Lynn McTaggart's intention experiment is another example of this. So I think we'll see more groups and communities coming together to use this consciousness to begin to affect and change, humanity and the planet as a whole.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's obvious that there is a shift taking place. I think, just about everybody can see that. Knowing that and seeing that, where do you feel that we're headed as a species?
Well, I'm very hopeful that, we're actually headed for, a higher consciousness, a higher way of being. When you look at, what had been talked about and looking at biblical traditions like the new heaven and the new earth, looking at other traditions like the Mayan tradition and the whole, idea regarding 2012, that I really do sense that we are in a period where there is a hopeful transition that can be upon us. But that doesn't mean that it may not be challenging, because we can see, with the situation of the world, from the economic situation, that there are challenges in shifting from more of this negative, fear-based, dualistic consciousness to more of our unity. It's kind of like in any time of more profound change, you do see the positive movements and the strides going on, but often that kind of brings more to the attention some of the opposition. So you kind of see this push and pull. And that's why, you know, some people often could fall in the trap of being somewhat pessimistic because the negative side becomes more visible, you know, as we're, you know, we're moving to a better consciousness.
Mm-hmm. But then again, as we tap into that side of higher consciousness and spirit, things don't tend to look so dark, do they? You tend to find hope.
Yes, right. We kind of, you know, we begin to see the bigger picture and are much more, you know, grounded in, you know, in understanding love and creativity and not being so, you know, attached to, you know, any remaining fears or negativity that we might have.
Well, as someone who studied consciousness and, you know, you mentioned 2012, you know, there's so many theories swirling around about that date. What is your idea or notion of that time period and what impact it will have on us and the Earth?
I think it is a one contributing marker to, you know, our collective, you know, ancient wisdom, and that does point to the fact that, yes, we are really experiencing, you know, something that is profound. It is a major change. It's just not, you know, a typical, you know, cycles and growth cycles that, you know, we've kind of gone through, you know, in the past, you know, hundreds of years.
Mm-hmm.
But it does seem like we are moving toward this higher way of being.
Well, we can only hope that we keep that forward momentum going, right?
Yeah, it's always a challenge sometimes to, you know, to really see the positive, but it's really our best way. I think we'd rather, you know, really focus on hope and love and really see the potential of what we can offer, you know, as a humanity.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you so much for breaking down this topic for us. It's complicated and yet surprisingly simple all at the same time. And I think many times we make it more complicated than maybe it needs to be. So, again, the name of the book is Unity of the Heart, Transforming Consciousness to an Enlightened Humanity. And if people would like to find out more about you, Peter, do you have a website?
You can contact at unityoftheheart.com. Or you can reach my main site at www.peterboriesjr.com.
All right. Thank you so much, Peter, for joining us.
Okay, thank you very much, Marcy.
And so humans are multifaceted beings. To experience our greatest happiness, we must nourish our minds, our bodies, and our spirits. Our world may face some challenges, but the human spirit is never to be underestimated. One of my favorite quotes is from Mother Teresa, who said, "I know God will not give me anything I can't handle. I just wish he didn't trust me so much." And that pretty much sums it up, doesn't it? In our souls, we are not these frail and helpless individuals adrift on a sea of random occurrences. We're powerful and empowered beings with the capability to touch unlimited wisdom whenever we desire. We just need to learn to hear it and then trust it in our lives. In this world, that's no small task, learning to trust again, but we're never truly alone. There's a line from the New Testament that says, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." Learn to commune with your spirit. Let it speak to you, guide you, and comfort you. Just picture it in your mind as this big, beautifully wrapped gift with your name on it. It's sitting right there with a shiny bow on top, waiting for you to open it whenever you're ready. And the only thing you ever had to do to deserve it was being born. Life's an adventure, that's for sure. But inside that box is the map that will lead you to your ultimate happiness. If you're interested in either of the books we featured on today's show, you can find them on Amazon.com.
Thanks for joining us for Finding Meaning in the Mysterious and letting us be a part of your spiritual adventure. To share your own story of transformation or to sign up for our monthly newsletter, send me an email at marcywise@host.theshiftradio.com. Remember, You have the power to discover life's greatest truths, but first you must begin to hear that small, still voice of spirit. And when you do, no one can stand in judgment of that which you feel in your heart. Until we meet again, here's wishing you faith, peace, and happiness.